John 17, beginning in verse number 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, thank you so much for your great love and mercy upon us. Thank you for your Son who came to save us from sins and from the wrath to come. Thank you, Father, for the hope that we have where there was despair. Thank you for what we see in today and tomorrow where once we were blind. Thank you, Father, for filling our hearts with the joy of knowing you and the hope of life in eternity with you. And I pray, be with us today and strengthen us in your word and help us to love you and to be one with you. And we ask it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Be seated, please. There's a lot that's actually taken place in this passage. So I'm jumping right in to the middle of something that is already happening. And it's kind of hard to just jump in at that point and say, oh, I get it. I understand everything that's going on. So let me tell you what is happening, because we're right in the middle of a prayer. Right in the middle of the prayer that Jesus was praying before his disciples and lifting to his Father. They had gathered, and Jesus, when the gathering was over and they were about to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus was going to be betrayed and then go into that mockery of a trial and then the crucifixion and the great love that he displayed there when he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Before all of that happens, he's here and he's praying. And the first part of his prayer, he says, Father, I have come to the hour which you have appointed for me. I've come to the hour. The hour is here. The hour is here. He prayed for himself in a moment, but then he prayed for his disciples. Father, all of these that you have given me, these men that you have given me out of the world, they have kept your word. They have loved you. He prayed for them and the mission that they were about to go into after he was ascended. And then he prays for us. And that's where we began this morning. I do not pray for these alone. He's not just praying for the disciples, the apostles. He's praying for everyone who will believe because of their faithfulness to the mission they have been appointed, to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to lift the hearts that are broken, to lift them in hope and in joy, because salvation can be had in Jesus Christ. I pray for them and for all who will believe because of their works and the words that they share in truth. So we have life today, those of us that know Jesus Christ, we have life and hope and joy because their word continues. The word of God is a living word. And it transcends time. It goes through generations, one after another. And people come to hear and they see the light and they find their hope and their salvation in Jesus. And it all begins right here, knowing that Christ has prayed for us. Now, of course, it doesn't just begin there. But the point I'm trying to bring to you is that it is a prayer that is lifted, and in this moment it is brought to fruition that the Father and the Son working together, that the Son is praying for all of this not to fail and for us to be strengthened and for us to live in our faith and trust in Him and believe in Him and carry the Word out as they carried the Word out. Because we have that mission as well, to go and to tell. I don't believe that God would just send us out without any purpose at all. There is a purpose to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share the good news of a Father who loves, a Son, and not just a Son, but all of His children. And He's calling us back into the family through the Son. And Jesus is praying that we will hear and that we will see the light that is shining in the darkness and find our way back into relationship, the relationship God intended from the very beginning with Him. And that we will have hope and we will know the love of a Father. A lot of people don't know the love of a Father. You know that? A lot of people don't know the love of a mother. They don't know the love of a father. But if you can find Christ and you can find the hope that comes through Christ, you can begin to understand what the love of a father is all about. You can find hope and you can find purpose in life and celebrate it, and not just within, but with those who are around you. And that's what God is wanting us to do. And that's what He was wanting His disciples to do. So He didn't pray just for His disciples, but for all who would believe because of the work that they did. He says, I do not pray for these alone. He's praying for all of us. And we should understand it, because Jesus had already said in John chapter 10, if you want to go back and read through that, He had some important words. He said, there are other sheep which I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, you know, when we have friendships and gatherings and we talk about plans and we make plans, how many of you make plans with your family and friends to do things? Anybody? Anybody make plans to have a special day with Dad today? Nobody. Wow. You know, the men's breakfast yesterday, we made plans for another breakfast. Now, that's what we do, right? When Jesus was with His disciples and they were going about and walking through the towns and the villages and through the countryside, and Jesus was teaching and healing and doing all sorts of wonderful things for people to see and hear, and His disciples tagging right along, and He kept them close. He made them part of the group, and they knew that they belonged and that they had a purpose and a mission to be with Him. They didn't fully understand it at that time. But when Jesus spoke in John chapter 10, and He said these words, other sheep I have, but they're not of this fold. I will also bring them, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. How many of those disciples thought, wow, we've got a big job ahead of us? You know? Sometimes when you're just in the beginning stages of planning, it's easy to put it on the counter and say, we're going to have a cook-off, right? We're going to have a cookout. But boy, getting the plans together and getting that cookout going, you know, we get into that a little bit later, and then we realize, man, we got a job. Disciples walking with Jesus, and He had already said there's sheep that's coming that aren't part of this flock. You know, we got to bring more in. Who was He talking about? He was talking about us, the Gentiles. He was beginning to explain to them, even though they probably didn't understand it at that time in the fullness of what He was saying, that they were going to be involved with reaching out into a world that had not been part of the original covenant through Abraham. There's a new covenant now in Christ, and it's open to all who will come. And that's where he's praying. I don't pray for these alone, but for those who will believe because of their words. The words that have been shared for all of the world to hear and to find hope in and to find life in. Now, this is a wonderful love that a father has for all of creation, to send his son to save all who will come, to provide for us what we need so that we may all be as one. And that's what he's saying there in verse 21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. So there's a plan. I've got sheep I've got to bring into the flock. I've got to bring them in. You're going to be part of it. You're going to go out. I'm praying for you. I'm praying to the Father that he'll keep you so that the word lives and moves from generation to generation. That those who hear and believe will come and be one with us. We will be in them and they will be in us as we are together, Father, you and I. As the disciples are in me and I in them. So too these others that are coming, us all one in one and together, filled with all that is part of being in the family of God, the hope and the joy. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One God the Father, one Son who brings us into the relationship, one Spirit that helps us to understand the truth of it all. But there's one joy that we all celebrate together. A Father loving a Son loving a Father, and the Father and the Son loving us all in creation and bringing us all together. I'm trying to tell you something here this morning. I want you to hear this. And I hope I'm making it clear. God loves you. God loves you. And the Son loves you and came so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And this great love, this love between the Father and the Son, where they are so intertwined, they are one in one. They want us to be part of that with them, so that we can walk through life and then step into eternity with no despair, no doubts, no fears. Even in this life, we use this passage, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Well, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, oh my goodness, you shouldn't be afraid of anything. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What can the world do? If they kill this body, what else can they do? If this body should be destroyed in this world, what else can happen? Nothing. Because my soul belongs to him. And he holds me in the cup of his hand. And no one can take me from the hand of the Father. How uplifting and how wonderful it is that before he got to the garden, he was already praying for us who would believe 2,000 years later. Father, I pray that they will believe and they will come and they will know the joy of your love, and we will all be one in one. You and me, me and you, and us and them and us. Boy, I wish we all as families could get along like that today, don't you? Wouldn't it be so wonderful if in our world today, families could love the way God has loved us? and could share that love the same as God has shared that love through His Son, Jesus Christ. One body, one spirit, called in one hope, one in God, who is in all through all, who is all in all. Can you imagine what that conversation must have been like before the foundation of the world? Because in verse 24, Jesus mentions that God the Father had loved Him with so great of love, even before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine what the conversation must have been like before all this is, before it was? I mean, I don't know. I can only imagine, but if you'll permit me, I could see the Father having a Son, you know, and we jump right into the conversation, and the Father says to the Son, "You will do this?" And the Son says, "That all of creation may know Your glory as I have, Your love as I have. Father, I'll do this." And then they want us to be together with them, all of us, together, one in one, filled with hope and joy. What a wonderful picture that is in their mind if we can see it. Before it all began, it was already planned. The sacrifice already made. The love already flowing and pouring out. The promises of hope already realized. You know, how many of us fathers in here today have children that come to us about issues in life? Or have conversations with us about things they'd like to do or concerns they might be facing in life? Or how many of us have asked our children to do something that you were concerned about over their welfare in? How many of us have had those kinds of conversations? Fathers, how many of us as fathers love our children so much we would do anything for them that we could? I think we all would, wouldn't they? Wouldn't we? How many of us, though, when we have a conversation with our children, would ask them to do something that would be hard for them to do? Sometimes we might have to. Sometimes it might be something they don't want to do. It might be because they don't know and don't have a loving relationship with the Father that they should have. But we want them to. Not with me as a father or you as a father, but even our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this week. What if my children were to ask me, "Dad, what can I do for you?" What would I ask them to do? And the thought occurred to me, well, this is what I would ask. I would ask you to pray for me. Like Jesus has prayed for us. Like Jesus has prayed to the Father for His work and for the disciples' work and for us and our work. I would ask my children to pray for me. You know what I would ask them to pray specifically? Because I'm sure that you've all probably had opportunity to ask your children to pray for you. But have you asked them to pray this? Pray for me. Pray for me that all of my children will find peace and salvation in Jesus Christ. You're asking them to ask for their salvation themselves, aren't you? And the relationship might not be so close that they will want to do that, but you know what? You begin to build that relationship with your children the way the Father and the Son has here in Scripture revealed to us. And it begins to grow. And they begin to hear. You each begin to hear each other and to love each other more equally, with more caring, with more concern so that you can ask them, pray for me. Pray for me that my children will find their salvation in Jesus Christ so that my goodbye on this side of eternity will not be the final words between us. Because we're all getting there. And fathers, I'm challenging you this morning. You have children? Ask them to pray that for you. Let it be a conversation starter. And let it lead to more about your faith in Christ and your hope and your love for them to have that same faith and that same joy. So that you can be one together in Christ and know the same hope and know the same joys and find yourselves not filled with uncertainties or despairs and doubts because you have the answer that matters most. Who loves me? My Father. Who's going to care for me? My Father. Who's going to provide for me? My Father. And who's going to lead me to my Father? We as fathers will lead our children to the Father that matters most. The same as the Son has guided us into the love and the relationship that He has with the Father. What a wonderful Father Day that would be. Amen. For your child to say, Dad, I'll be happy to pray that for you. I'll be happy to pray that for you. So that the glory which He had given Jesus, that we might all know that same glory when it's all said and done. At that day, He says in John chapter 14, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. At that day, you'll know it. And what a wonderful day that will be. You know, if you don't get anything else, I do want you to hear this. God loves you. And God sent His Son to save you from the wrath that comes, to save you from yourself and from the sin that has gripped you and chained you down. And you can find that hope and that joy in Christ through the forgiveness of sins. You have to admit who Jesus is. You have to believe. You have to recognize that you are filled with sin and loss. And you have to say, Father, I need help. I need to be born again. I need to be a new creation. Help me. Help my Father's prayer be answered today, so that none of His children would be lost for eternity. Can you find yourself before Christ humble enough to say, help me, forgive me, and change me? Because that's what He's asking. And that's what I'm asking. I'm asking for you to let Him change your life, so that you can find love that you didn't even know was there waiting. What a wonderful life it will be. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning? Is He the Father of your life? If not, I invite you to come today and to know Him and to find that Father that you so desperately need. Father, I thank You so much for this day and for Your blessing in it. I thank You for the hope that You have given. Lord, I thank You that in that day, as Your words cannot be broken, we will know and see, and we will rejoice. And I pray today, Father, that all of us here will have that same moment to rejoice with you, together in you, as one. Father, if there's one that has not found you, I pray, touch them now. Give them the strength to come and bless them and bless us all in this day. We ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Will you come?